All right, welcome champions. Welcome to week three of Mind Your Own Business. And we mean that literally. Mind yours more than anybody else's. Mind it mindfully and watch it grow. We're excited to be together. And I'm going to click right in, in fact, why not? I thought I'd find a mindfulness cartoon. Who, what, where, when, how, why, which, how much, yada, yada, what, where, then, why, me, and the dog mindfully focused on one object in his mindfulness practice. So might we, take a page out of the book of our fine feathered friends, but it's not our fine, it's our best friend, man's best friend, there we go. And perhaps a whole lot of tail wagging happiness can come from selecting one single object of meditation or mindfulness or one focus in our businesses to grow and enjoy. Without further ado, wanted to, in week three, just lightly, briefly touch back on and invite you to touch base back on what is your primary why? And as I flash possibility images and possibilities on the screen, to tune into that and toss it in the chat box. So is your why the academia of learning mindfulness, which you're absolutely learning? Is it the primarily cash in your pocketbook? Is it purpose, direction, freedom? Is it that inner peace? Is it the better relationships that you definitely will have the more mindful you will become? Is it insights and contributions? What is one, maybe not the, but which one part of your life and or business would be most satisfying to add to, increase, enhance, build, and or if you have a concrete result, so whether it's an area and or a concrete result, love to see you tossing that in the chat box. One primary win you're focused on overall in this Mind Your Own Business, Mindful Solutions to the Top 7 Business Killers. Love to see cash and financial on one, Nikki, great. Relationships as well as purpose. So nice, three very clear, very doable. And we are going to get some really good headway today on that. So I just wanted to refocus you in on that. And in that context, love to either see in the chat box or feel free to unmute on the audio, and love to hear at least one win either in relation to your accountability partner, in relation to your mindfulness practice, and or in relation to your life and or livelihood. So feel free, as I say, to unmute because it can be quicker, and or toss in the chat box one win that you'd love to share from this week.
I'm just going to do the audio since I'm here.
Yep, perfect.
I have been doing mindfulness practice every day.
Wow.
Minimum of 14 minutes, maximum of 77.
77, look at you go.
Over the course of a day. It's not all at once. It's more, you know, I find that I do more of it when I'm stressed or if I can't sleep. I actually now, instead of lying there thinking I can't sleep, I go into mindfulness practice.
Nice. So remind me, was there little to no practice before we started?
There was sporadic practice before we started.
Got it. And Ari, and we're going to get into the specific routine around the feel out, but have you primarily been focusing, has your object of meditation primarily been feel out, and or have you had others, which is totally fine? Love to hear one headline on what you're focusing on and one win that you've experienced from doing it, other than the win of doing it every day, which is fantastic.
Well, I'm actually doing a bunch of different things. So I'm doing mantras,
mm-hmm.
And chanting. I've done breathing and also just focusing on hear out, sometimes see out. I'm struggling with feel out.
Ah, okay.
feel out actually makes me anxious.
Interesting. Okay, good reporting. So one, great noticing and being able to name, because some people will say, well, I'm not really sure, I'm just sort of sitting there. So awesome already that it's daily, brilliant, that you're aware of what you're focusing in on, that you're experimenting with actually a subset of feel out is the breath. So breath is a version of feel out, just so you know. And okay. I'll get to your second comment in a moment. That you're experimenting with hear out, i.e. generating a mantra. Excellent. And so to your final point, this can be really, this, we are just at the cusp, and I want, you know, kind of everybody live and or audio listening, we're on the cusp of an insight or a breakthrough right here. And I wouldn't normally name it before it happens, but I just want to name where we are. So I'm focusing on an object of meditation, whatever it is. And in this case, it happens to be feel out. And I'm having a secondary reaction to it. In this case, it's feel in, it's anxious. So that was the report. I'm having an object of meditation and I'm having a secondary reaction. Not only is this extremely common to, you know, have a 1-2, you're focused on one of the six modalities and another one starts firing. Mm-hmm. Very common, for one. Two, great increase of your awareness to see that there's a relationship between any of them, let alone in this case, feel out and feel in. Now I want to just, so I wanted to name that first, what's occurring, then explore a little more as to when you say you start to feel anxious when you focus on feel out, what are you noticing tends to trigger the feeling anxious? Is it a particular location in your body of feel out? Is it that triggers some sort of anxious reaction, A? Or is it B, sort of a not wanting to focus on the feel out on the body and therefore dodging it? Or C? So I'll give you two options and an open door. Do you sense what is triggering the anxious response?
Mostly body pains, and they all seem to be occurring mostly on my left side. Mm-hmm. Especially in the shoulder area and sciatica. And actually what happens is when I get one body sensation, it starts to migrate and I start to notice other body sensations, and I get a sense that they're linked to emotions, and that's when I start to get anxious. It's just like, okay. And then I start to not feel good. I'm like, okay, well, this doesn't feel good at all. Mm-hmm. And this isn't relaxing. This is now starting to like wind me up. And so I think there is some avoidance because I'm avoiding feeling that way. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be calm here. I'm not supposed to be getting upset. Getting upset doesn't help me.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So very good reporting from the scene. So again, I'm going to unbundle what's happening here. You're having a quote unquote, an emotional or feel in emotional reaction, a response to a body sensation, which is also extremely common. It's part of the nature of being human. When it goes unmindfully, unchecked, for instance, I'm going to give examples of what it might be. Who knows? And it's a moving target. But for example, often when we have a feel-in response to a feel-out sensation that is some sort of pain in relation to pain, there is some conscious or unconscious worry about our health and or our survival. Like, oh, what does that pain in the shoulder mean? My friend had that and that led to blah, blah, blah. Or what? Why is it migrating? Or is it something bigger? And I don't know what it is. And should I go to a doctor? But I can't afford it. Da, 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 da. And then it goes unchecked. And it goes into quote unquote overwhelm because there's too many emotional balls in the air of response. So one, it's very common. Two, I'm starting to describe why it may, just an example, not a for sure, but an example of why it may occur. Welcome aboard. If that's Cheryl, we're just unbundling a piece of mindfulness insights right now. So welcome aboard. And just to let Cheryl know as well, we're actually going to look at this proactively next week, which is the nature of an emotion. And this mindfulness practice is brilliant because I'm going to show you very clearly and very simple, what is the anatomy of an emotion? And it's going to be very freeing for one, very clear for two, and three, it's going to start to unbundle their emotional grip on you and on any human, which starts to purify consciousness, dissolve the, as I say, unchecked grip that our emotions have on us. And slow but sure, you're going to find yourself less emotionally triggered, more emotionally intelligent and conscious, and more in the driver's seat of your life. So there, we are just at the tip of the iceberg of something beautiful. So quote unquote, fear not that you had a feel out, you were focusing on feel out and you had an emotional response that didn't feel very comfortable. You are absolutely on a very, very healthy track. And the final thing I'll say before I toss it back to you for any questions or clarification is that this is when you really want to up the soaking of the second pillar, the equanimity. So you're becoming more aware, the mindfulness pillar, and the one often forgotten is, oh, right, now soak this pain or sensation in my shoulder that's migrating down my left side, blah, blah, blah. Soak it with deep okayness. And eventually, it's quote unquote just body sensations, and hallelujah, they do move and change. And isn't that great that everything's impermanent and that it isn't really there to stay and that it is migrating? And there's all, I don't want to circumvent your insights, but I'm just giving you examples of what will start to occur. So I'm going to pause there and say any questions or clarifications. And then I'm happy to take one win from the week from Cheryl as well.
It's funny you should say it's a bunch of emotions coming in and then creating overwhelm. And even as you were describing having like soaking the body sensations with equanimity and okayness, and mm-hmm. as you're describing it moving, and I'm like, okay. Like I literally, my stomach literally started churning.
So there's a number of strategies and it's all under the umbrella of divide and conquer. Meaning, yeah. So either you divide and conquer by doing shorter practices when that sensation occurs.
Okay.
Or you divide and conquer by focusing on just one aspect of the body sensation. Let's say it's migrating, it's in your shoulder and it's migrating down your side or into your hip or whatever. You could just get super curious about the shoulder as an example of divide and conquer.
Okay.
A third way to do it is to really just soak it more with equanimity, ease up on the mindful awareness of it and soak it more with love and equanimity. Oh, it's just, you know, the reality is the opposite would be a really bad thing, which is if we felt nothing in our body. One.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. And two, we have been unconsciously and unhealthily wired that any sensation might be a red flag of danger and, you know, survival. And as we start to become more conscious of it, one of my reframes that has come from mindfulness is that, oh, I'm getting an internal body massage, because as I get more curious about it, it's just prickles or waves or expansion or contraction, whatever the nature of it is. And so it's just an internal body massage. So I'm giving you examples of how to divide and conquer, either a shorter time or a smaller focus, or to shift your focus. Now, I don't want you to be jumping around in terms of objects of meditation. When you pick one, you should, you know, settle in with it for a while. Yet if it's really hijacking you, or you're really hijacking yourself, whatever, then you do have permission once or twice in a mindfulness practice to shift your object of meditation to something that brings you more ease. For example, your breath as you were doing, or a mantra. So does that give you enough to continue growing your practice this week on that?
Yes. And actually I've started doing it outside so that I find if I'm getting to that point, I start to listen to the birds outside.
Yeah. And that's anchoring in what? What's that? What's one of the six modalities? That is that's
hear out.
Exactly. So you have shifted. I started people with feel out because a lot of the time people find it very grounding to anchor outside of the thoughts and emotions in their head and their body and anchor out, so to speak, in their body sensations. You can also anchor out in see out or hear out, which can also be very anchoring, to anchor out, it's called. So great instinct, wonderful. Keep your practice growing. In a summary, Cheryl, you guys have been texting, but she's been doing from 14 to 77 minutes a day. Thrilled and excited for you. We got lots to cover tonight. So I'm going to briefly shift over and we'll get some more semi-private time tonight. So hope that, as always, leaves you better than I found you, Nikki. And over to you, Cheryl.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Wonderful. Specificity is key as we're moving through the mindfulness practice, because it is subtle and significant to negotiate this practice in a skillful way for life. And that's what I'm really committed to you for. Cheryl, love to either in the chat box or to hear on audio, which we'd love to hear your voice. One brief win from your week, either from with your accountability partner, your mindfulness practice, or your life and livelihood.
Well, this has been a challenging week for me. It's been quite a week, I tell you. But one thing I did recognize, a pattern that I have had for most of my adult life, maybe even into childhood, of when I'm doing something, and like this morning, my dryer tore up some clothes and got grease all over some clothes. So I went into the reaction of, well, I'm just going to crawl back into bed. And that's what I tended to do in the past. So today I just wanted to crawl back in bed. So I sat on the edge of my bed and thought, I'll give myself 10 minutes. So I crawled into bed for 10 minutes. And then I got up and got on with my day.
Nice.
So I'm changing that pattern.
Very, very powerful. And not that you needed to, but just question, in that 10 minutes, did you do any sort of awareness or equanimity in that time?
Just some breathing. Okay. Deep breathing.
Great. Just the breathing is still a mindfulness practice, in that you are choosing an object of meditation, which happens to be the breath in this case, and you are aware of it. So that's great, let alone the 18 benefits I shared with you of deep breathing. So excellent for one, that you had any focus. And I've been here. I get this. I've crawled back under the covers. I get this. So I know the territory. And thank you, Nikki, for Cheryl, you are a champion, as she's been there as well. I get this territory more than you may know. And good for you for recognizing the pattern. Huge. That's already starting to put a wrench in the gears of the monkey mind, as I would call it. One. Two, that you gave yourself a time limit of that emotion, as opposed to letting it run you ad infinitum with how much time in our lives have we wasted in these states. You put a time limit on it. Next great win. Third win, that you had a focus, any focus, hugely powerful, and that you then got up and moved into your day. Fantastic. So I really wanted to unbundle what exactly you've done in the awareness, in the wrench in the works, in the time frame, and in the focus. So excellent. And I'm going to add one more. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just said thank you.
You're welcome, and I mean it. And I'm going to add one more piece that you may want to look out for this week. I'm just going to sort of plant a seed, though, as I shared with Nikki, next week we're going to specifically unbundle the nature of an emotion, the anatomy of an emotion in relation to the mindfulness practice. But or and, both my mindfulness coach of 23 years, Shinzen Young, had a lifelong habit that was not serving him. It doesn't matter what it was. It happened to be procrastination. He's had other, you know, one could say worse habits, but I won't go in there. And I had recently a separate experience that I was more hijacked than usual, and I was unbundling the magic of what was hijacking me. And I came up to the same emotional flavor or conclusion that he did about 10 years ago. And so I'm going to share this with both of you now because it's subtle but significant. I'm just going to give you the emotional flavor, and then next week we're going to unbundle the magic of the nature of an emotion. So he was identifying in the procrastination. He was unbundling the nature of the emotions that were underlying. Well, there was a curiosity about doing other things other than they wanted to. There was whatever his emotional flavors were. But the final one that divided and conquered and unbundled the magic of this lifelong grip on himself was the emotional flavor he named as, in two words, four letters and two letters, poor me. And a lot of us have it, this emotional flavor. And it's related to and remind me maybe in the chat box or on audio, have you trained in Jin or your wish is your command?
Are you talking to Cheryl?
Cheryl.
No, I have not.
Okay. So there's a huge success practice. It's called the 5-second miracle, which is when we take 100% responsibility for our life. And embedded in that is a lifelong set of learnings. And I've embraced a ton of that 5-second miracle and 100% responsibility. And it's like, okay, Ramsey, what are you creating today? And okay, Ramsey, don't go into blame frame. It's into creation frame. And, you know, when we're blaming self or other, it's this, there's some enemy out there, you know, the anywhere from the washer and dryer to the business partner to the prospect who never bought the art to whatever, you know, it's like this blame frame. And I've unbundled and dissolved, rewired, solved, resolved, you name it, a whole ton of that. Great, thanks, Nikki. And one of the more subtle emotional flavors that's the sort of the final frontier of really embracing that is the flavor of poor me. And as I say, it's a very common flavor. So I'm not going to say much more about it now, but to notice if you relate to it as an emotional flavor and to notice when it comes up and love it to death. Not that we're about killing anything, but equanimity does that. It's like, oh, look at that with awareness, a sort of curious to neutral to curious tone. Oh, look at that. I've got that poor me flavor. Look at that. And soak it with equanimity. Soak it with deep okayness. Oh, well, it's just an emotional flavor of humanity. Oh, look, it's going to come and it's going to go. Ah, soaking it with equanimity. So I'll leave it at that for today because we've got lots of learning and wins to still get you. And I'm just going to highlight that one emotional flavor as often a tricky, slippery, unrecognized kind of, you know, got a grip on the gridlock of our emotional landscape. So does that make sense at least? And or might it resonate as some good ground for exploration? Either chat box. Yeah. Okay. Great. Nikki and Cheryl, either audio or chat box would be great. Okay. So more than I expected in terms of fantastic, Cheryl. That's great. Absolutely. Okay. So more than I expected as the kickoff, and I don't care when in our 90 minutes we get the wins. If it's right up front, all the better. So fantastic and good for both of you for your practice and your specificity of your awareness. You're building your insight muscle first. And then as you build your insight muscle, next comes the equanimity, which builds the purifying of consciousness, which truly dissolves the residue of our life that we no longer want. So you are very much on track. Only 2 weeks in. Really excited for both of you. Okay. All right. So just some recapping. I think we've kind of hit this. Maybe Cheryl, you can just put in the chat box. And again, forgive me. I keep guessing and changing and trying to remember what you've all committed to. but love to see, Nikki's already reported, Cheryl, how many days you've been doing a mindfulness and the times, the minutes and amounts per day, as much for you to check in as is the key. So love to see that. And 4x4. Okay, fantastic. And 20-minute mindfulness. Okay, great. So 4 sets of 4 minutes and a 20-minute session as well. Fantastic. I had Nancy's 4x4. Maybe you're both. Or maybe I got them flipped around. All as well. I was willing to be wrong, just to put some concreteness on the screen. And if you could report, either of you want to report any more qualitative results, that would be great. Great, Nikki, upping your ante of committing a minimum of 10 minutes a day. Fantastic. Yeah, feel free to do new commitments here, as well as reporting in any other qualitative results that you're noticing, because it's really important to anchor it in your conscious mind. Awesome. Quick reminder on love to see a yes or how many numbers of the 20, listen to me, the 10 videos that you've watched. So love to see in the chat box of the 1 to 10, how many you have watched and trained on in week 1 and week 2. So love to see that coming in the chat box. And then great, Nikki, very specific and good that you know the score on that. We're going to zip back to last week as a forward, bringing forward the learnings. There's all some of your analogies for our two pillars of mindfulness, 6. Great, Cheryl. I love to get the other 3 and 4 under your belt for both of you. It's going to, sooner than later, is going to boost your practice. So that's the, you might as well get better mileage. What does Shenzhen call it? Maximum meditation mileage, M3. All right. So there's your, synonyms that we unbundled last week under mindfulness and equanimity. Actually, I'm going to back up. Who remembers, love to see in the chat box, I just flashed it on the screen, the difference in the definition between feel in and feel out. Love to see your definitions on the screen, in the chat box, of feel in versus feel out. That's usually the one that needs the clarification. There's only a 3-letter difference between the definitions. If you can even take a guess at one of them, that would be great to start anchoring it in. Feel in or feel out are sensations that are in nature. Any guesses of the definition of feel in and or feel out? Feeling is linked to emotion. Correct, Nikki. Absolutely correct. Great that you got the gist of it. That's great. Let me help you all out here. They're both physical sensations. Feel in is emotional in nature. Feel out is, bingo, non-emotional in nature. Great. So we just got that non-emotional. So physical sensations that are emotional or non-emotional in nature. That's it, and that's going to mean a lot more to you next week as I unbundle the magic of a complete emotion. Terrific. All right, we also had, and we're going to sort of whip through this a little farther along tonight, the basics, the fundamentals of any good practice, whether you practice, you know, this 3x2 mindfulness matrix or anything else in your future, a great formulation for the practice. And then we actually did practice with feel out and with spoken labels. So there's our week in review of week 2, and we've hit on a number of insights. So now, without further ado, I want to, as promised, move into and kick off week 3. As I promised, week one and two, we laid the foundation, and we will continue to build on it, of the mindfulness practice. And I didn't want to muddy the waters with business yet formally. I wanted to just focus on, in fact, we could do 8 weeks or 8 months or 8 years on the mindfulness practice, and you would never stop winning and being fascinated and being insightful and purifying consciousness and getting a whole lot happier permanently. And as promised, week 3, I'm now consciously bringing back in, okay, mindfulness solutions to what? The top seven business killers. And so just brief review, because I want to get right to the meat of it. You may remember in that introductory webinar, there was seven business killers that I named, and that we are converting them into business creators to have this result, among others. It's illustrative of peace, happiness, health, wealth, etc. And so a brief reminder on what they are, you know, why business and mindfulness? Well, not just because Jack and Ray and Oprah do it, but in fact, if we've got these as our top business killers, and the opposite of them, all of which can have great mileage out of the mindfulness practice, why not? And so we're going to start applying them, in fact, this evening to the first two. So I'm going to bundle number one and number two. We're going to customize a practice to it, and then we'll actually get into outer game business strategies as well. So without further ado, if you may or may not remember, business killer number one, I bundled together lack of direction, focus, and or action. So as opposed to just giving a score out of 10 for all of these together, I'd love for each of you to put in the chat box a score for all three of them separately, and remembering that the higher scores is it's more of an issue for you. So 8, 9, or 10 is like, I don't have much direction, not have much focus, and not doing much action. Mid numbers, mid issue, lower numbers, lower, not so much of an issue. So love to see direction dash a number out of 10, focus dash a number out of 10, and action dash a number out of 10 in terms of, or that way. Great, Cheryl, 8, 9, 9. Okay, great. In terms of issues, great. Very clear. And they're similar, because sometimes I decided to separate them tonight because for some it's, I got the direction, but the focus is, you know, or et cetera. So Nikki, love to see yours as well coming in. Okay, got it. 8, 9, and 10. And then we're also going to tonight bundle this in with the number two, which is absolute overwhelm or some degree of overwhelm, which usually comes when number one is high. So because the direction is unclear or the focus or the action, then I just get into overwhelm. I don't know what to do and I go back to bed. It's understandable. It's very understandable. And I'm trying to break down the magic of why this happens for you and you're not alone, let alone why is it happening and how do we reverse engineer. So love to see also in the chat box, numbers out of 10. How often does this occur where it's just, I'm not functioning, I'm not getting anything done. Higher numbers for that, mid numbers for it happens, you know, to some regularity where I get on absolute overwhelm or some percentage of overwhelm or not really functioning, and lower numbers if it's not a big issue to you. Okay, great. You just had 10 and then I lose focus or focus on too many things at once. Shiny object syndrome. Yeah, okay, great. So pretty significant scores for both of you and pretty similar across the field in terms of direction, focus, and action. Perfectly clear. Awesome. So now what we're going to do is apply an inner business solutions first, i.e. the mindfulness practice first. And very simply, because we've done 2 weeks of laying the foundation, it's going to be very easy for us to start applying a mindfulness practice specifically to this. And we're going to road test that. And then for the final part of the evening, we're going to go more to outer game business solutions. Great, and feel free at any time to toss any additions, questions, insights, or observations in the chat box. So very brief in review, we've got our mindfulness and equanimity pillars, and we have our inner world and our outer world. And you should be able to draw this in your sleep by now. Few people ever see it this simply, this 3x2 matrix. Of, and you can even say them with me, see in, hear in, feel in, and then in the outer world, see out, hear out, and feel out. So there is our platform, our blueprint, our model for 100% of our experience, and you are getting more skilled at knowing they exist. Nikki was reporting about choosing different objects of meditation. Sometimes she'll anchor and see out and watch the birds, or hear out and listen to the birds. Fantastic strategy. And it is one of the strategies. that you could, it's called anchor out. So you literally choose if the yada-da-yada-da in your head is too much, very good strategy to anchor out. So that's why, in fact, I chose it. It had a different sort of experience for Nikki, but that's actually why I chose last week to have your first object of meditation in this system to be feel out. Because not always, but often, people find one of the outer modalities, see, hear, or feel out, to be quite grounding and anchoring. Because a lot of the time, and I think you can see my cursor on the screen, these three in the middle is our subjective sense of self. And this is pretty much what's running the show 24/7 and can have us on overwhelm and hijack. And what we're slowly doing is, oh, unbundling the magic, dividing and conquering, dissolving and resolving through mindfulness and equanimity. These two beautiful pillars. And oh, by the way, it can often be more calming to anchor out. Like Cheryl, you anchored out in your breath. Or Nikki, you've anchored out in see out or hear out with the birds. That is a strategy and it's highly recommended. And that's, as I say, why we started last week in anchoring out. And I'm going to add on just one extra of these six modalities this week to lightly start exploring this nature of lack of direction or focus or action or overwhelm for the matter. It's similar, not exactly, but similar territory on the inner game at any rate. And so I'm going to invite you lightly this week, and we're going to explore it right now, to tune into herein, specifically in relation to this lack of direction, focus, action. And so, and we're going to explore it, but it can sound, you're going to find out what it sounds like for you, but it can be like, okay, I got to do this today. Okay, I got to do this today. Oh my God, which one should I do? Okay, I don't know. Oh God, I feel so stupid. Oh my God, what if I'm supposed to be an entrepreneur, but I don't know what I'm doing. And that's why I'm not making any money and I'm so scared. And oh my God, the banks, maybe I should pay the bills. Okay, I'll go to the bank. It is only not productive. Ha ha, do you have a mic in my head? Yeah, there you go. It is only not productive. It's not fun and it doesn't feel good. And why can it seem like I have a mic in your head or I can read minds? Because I have observed the nature of being human for thousands and thousands and thousands of hours. But you have to get this. And in fact, I'm bringing you the most distilled, clear, shortest route to success I've ever seen, to be honest. And hallelujah, here we are. You are at the cusp of unbundling the gridlock of your monkey mind and or your inner sense of self, believe you me. So I won't say any more about the results because you're going to start to experience it yourself. I want to just get clear on, and we're going to practice this sequence right now. And so what do I mean by that? So we're going to spend some time on the 50% of our time focusing on the hearing in specifically in relation to this phenomena of lack of direction or focus or action. And then we're going to shift in 50% of our time on anchoring on feel out. So how the sequence is going to look, just moving my cursor just so I can see it, there it is we're going to spend 50% of our time being aware of whatever is the herein, whatever we're hearing internally and only that. And then we're going to shift and for 50% of the time, we're going to focus on feel out. So we're going to divide our time 50-50, whatever that is. So if it's 2 minutes, it's 1 and 1 minute. If it's 20 minutes, it's 10 and 10 minutes. If it's an hour, it's 30 and 30 minutes, whatever that is, as the suggested sequence. And to remind you what, I'll just click forward and then I can always click back to this image. This is exactly the same, not new, exactly the same, the core of the practice. Actually, yes, my apologies. I am going to just recap what is a good practice. So I'd love to see in the chat box, before we go into a few moments of practice, what do you remember are the, and there's three, so I'll kick you off, three basic things to prep you or set you up for a good practice. One is physical and two are making a choice. To give you some more hints. Alert and relaxed, absolutely in your body. Fantastic, Nikki. Yep, you betcha. And then making two decisions. That is in the body of the practice and it's absolutely perfect, Nikki. You're absolutely correct. We'll get to that. A body, time, and object. Bingo pajamas on all of you. You're all correct on all those answers. So yes, the prep is the having your body be alert and relaxed, selecting whatever time you choose, and consciously, proactively, in advance, choosing your object of meditation so you know what your labels are. As opposed to kind of sitting there going, I think I'm supposed to meditate, but I can't remember how, and then I'm not really doing anything, and then you nail yourself for feeling like you don't know anything and you're stupid and you can't remember how to do it, which is I've spent years messing that up because I kind of thought I remembered how to do it, and at any rate, it's a very negative spiral down, and it can be, the antidote is very simple. Just select your object, meditation, and therefore your label in advance. Saves you years of grief, believe me. These may seem like very simple things on the screen, yet they are years of grief. Like this body alert and relaxed is like, how many times have I fallen asleep on the meditation cushion? It's like, oh, but my head was sagging forward. If I propped it on top of my spine, it doesn't feel like a paperweight. So simple yet significant. And then yes, Nikki, into the body of the practice, it's note and soak. And literally the note is about a second or so. Once you notice a phenomena in the category coming up and with a mental or a spoken label, which we're practicing together, spoken labels, and highly recommend to do them on your own. Massive, 10 times the mileage with them. And then soak for 3 to 5 seconds with that curiosity of mindfulness. Oh, how is that feeling in my body moving through? Is it rippling? Is it contracting? Is it tingling? And equanimity, a deep acceptance and okayness, a soaking it, and therefore yourself with unconditional love. And finally, any memories of what we do after the post mindfulness practice? Any guesses? I'll own our wins, baby. You betcha you got it. Big time. Own our wins with gratitude and celebration. Yeah, amen on both. Good on you, Nikki and Cheryl. Terrific. Okay, so without further ado, just taking the core and the body of the practice, just repeating the exact same thing. This time, our spoken labels are herein for half of the practice, and then feel out. And more specifically, we've got the soak and note. And so I, as last time, I'm going to be the forerunner, and I'm going to role model and demo. I'm going to do a minute each. And again, I'm going to say the label and then I'm going to speak out loud what normally would be internally, but you could even speak out loud what you're noticing if you wish as a practice, but certainly speaking out loud the label. And I'll do it for a minute on the herein and then a minute on the feel out. So they get you the rhythm of it and you get a sense of what I'm noticing on both accounts. And I'm specifically now just not noting anything that I'm hearing in my head on the herein, but I'm noting anything in relation to, now I'm going to take off the lack of, and I'm going to just keep it to anything that you notice around direction, focus, or action, because I don't want to assume all of your herein around it is negative or unsupportive. So it may be. And that's totally natural to notice. And it's going to be open by design, an invitation for it also to be supportive. So here we go. So I'm going to go ding and note and soak. herein. Focus is a muscle. Herein. I've built a bunch of it. It feels stronger, but oh, sometimes it still feels like a lot of work. Notice that there's a pause because sometimes the mind, yes, the mind is quiet. So I'm not naming anything, or you can just do here in with a blank and leave it as a pause. Especially because it's a narrow focus on direction, focus, or action. Here in. I got a lot done today. Well, that was quick. I had another hearing coming up, but so now I'm going to do the second minute. And second minute on the feel out. And it's going to ding. Feel out. Slight contraction in my toes. Melting slightly up the tops of my feet. Feel out a global warmth and tingling across the surface of my body. Feel out a slight contraction around my eyes. Feel out a slight band of contraction between my jaw wrapped around my atlas. Great. So any questions on this before each of you get a practice? Love to see in the chat box. If there's any questions before we have Cheryl, in fact, kick us off. Okay, great, Nikki. So Cheryl, if you would be so good as to unmute your mic. And
I went first last week.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I'm going to go click, 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 and we're going to come to Nikki first. Good on you. You know what? I was thinking the same thing and you read my mind. I was like, how boring is that? Or how unvarietal, if that's a word.
What?
Nikki, you're up.
Oh, I didn't want to be up yet.
We're going to do a whole week on resistance.
Yeah. Great.
Or beating it. Is there anything you want to ask or say before you go?
No. No.
Well, sounds like you've got some good material. So this is perfect for mindfulness. So I'm going to ring the bell, and I'm going to invite you again to focus not just on herein, but any material that you naturally hear in relation to direction, focus, or action. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Here in. Huh. So what did you do today? You didn't really do anything, did you? You did this and that. You did a bunch of stuff on the internet. Was it useful? Did it do anything for you? You cleaned the bathroom. Okay, so that was good. What else did you do? Did you get anything accomplished for your business? I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to pause you. You're awesome. And I'm actually pausing the timer as well. Very understandable interpretation of the practice, because we are so used to letting our monkey mind rant at us That's exactly what you're reporting from. So your awareness is high. Your reporting of it is very clear. And the practice is bringing just that much more neutrality. It's like a metronome. So as opposed to getting caught in the content of the practice, of the herein.
Okay.
It will, remember, it's about, a second to note. And then you notice that I just named one piece of content and then remembered to soak it with equanimity, which is the second half. And then I paused and I named herein again, and I named a second piece of content. And then I soaked it with equanimity, as opposed to just letting the dialogue rant, which brings a maybe 2% increase in awareness, but still pretty like kind of emotionally gripped and not optimizing the equanimity, the soaking and the neutrality of it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Wonderful. So it's both a technical shift in how you're doing it, as well as a huge win to remember, which most people don't. It's the best kept secret in North America that equanimity never really crossed over the ocean of mindfulness. So believe me, it is not, and you'll get to know this, it has nothing to do with the content. It has everything to do with soaking it with equanimity. And if you soak three phrases with equanimity as opposed to hear 23 phrases, you're way farther ahead. And in fact, we actually have practices, just to give you an example of how little it is actually about the content, in a hear-in practice, sometimes Shinzen will get us to break it down to the minutia where we actually hear in syllables. So we actually take the meaning of the content right out of it, because half of why we're driven is the meaning of the content. So just to give you an example, it'll sound like I went to the Home Depot, for example. And it's not just slowing it down, it's being aware of the syllables and soaking the syllable, which comes to have less and less meaning with equanimity. That's an example of how far you can take the practice in terms of getting the grip of the meaning we've put on our words, shaking the grip off. It's like shaking the monkey mind out of the tree. So without further ado, I'm going to recommence the timer. You go ahead.
Herein. You did a really great job at that house in Kitchener. You pay such attention to detail.
Wow. I didn't tell you to change the content.
No, it just changed.
Yeah. With the technique of slowing down, being more objective, and I could feel you soaking it with equanimity.
In truth, I also imagined all that other stuff as a little ant, and I squashed it and went cancel, cancel.
We can absolutely incorporate reframing techniques with mindfulness techniques. You know me, I'd be all over that. So really good job. Without further ado, I'm going to get you to do the second minute so we can go to Cheryl so we can get some more wins going.
Okay.
All righty. So second, the gong's going to go off in a couple of seconds for the feel out.
Feel out. Some tension in my shoulders and discomfort down my spine. Well, it's getting better. Relax. If you didn't know what tightness was, you wouldn't know what relaxation is. Oh, it's loosening up.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Great job. Just to note that you did end up dropping the labels. You just went to the content after the feel out, and that's an option. And just noting that it happened, because in the early days and even in the mature days, like man, it can be really good to continue to bring in the spoken label before the observation or whatever you're observing. And great job. Awesome. Really good.
Great.
All right. All right, Cheryl, you are up next.
Okay, I'm back.
All right. Very good. So it's just about to go ding in a couple of seconds.
Okay. So
hear in first.
Hear in. Feel the breath. Hear in.
Focusing on content in relation to direction, focus, or action, positive or negative.
The mind is quiet now. Here in peacefulness. Here in, I love hearing the birds go by.
Great, great job. It's not uncommon, even if you've got like an 8, 9, or 10 of, you know, challenge with direction, focus, or action, that as and when you choose to be mindful, that those things seem to go away somewhere, or the mind quiets, or it gets more peaceful. So that's not our goal. Yet just know, sometimes people actually get frustrated. They're like, well, I can't focus on the lack of focus because it just went somewhere. It's like, no problem. It's often that the mind will actually shift to another awareness or to be quiet the mind. So great. Alrighty, second round on the feel out. There'll be the bell in just a moment.
Feel out. My head feels very heavy. Equanimity. Pulsating, the headache is lifting, it feels like tension in my head. Equanimity. Releasing the tension, releasing the pressure, allowing,
beautiful. There's some MQ, maximum meditation mileage. I feel like meditated while you're doing it. It's like, I'm getting the spin-off. It's like masterminding meditating, you know? It's like we leverage off each other. Great. Any?
Sounds good to me.
What's that?
I said, that sounds good to me.
It is good. I can feel it already. I'm like, wow, I just purified a little bit of consciousness there. That feels good. Any questions as to in applying this week. So the invitation, and I think I've somewhere, oh yeah, so we were doing that. We already did the right here, right now. But the invitation is to apply 50% of your time to becoming more aware of your dialogue about direction, focus, and action. That's the invitation, to see what's running the show. 95% of the business challenge is to rewire the entrepreneur, you, at the helm of your business. And then all of a sudden, there are entrepreneurs that have direction, focus, and action all day long. I'm not saying that they're common, but they, you know, the top 5%, they're on it. And how did they get there? It's a rewiring. And how did they get there? Awareness first. So the invitation is to tune in to your dialogue in relation to direction, focus, and action for half of your mindfulness practice. And then the other half to focus your awareness on the body or feel out. Now you can do a full practice on herein and a full practice on feel out. It's just a proposed invitation. So we've done the practice now, and you've already actually named your commitment around the 4x4 at plus 20 minutes and the 10 minutes minimum per day. So that is great. Any final questions before we launch into the final part of tonight around that practice? Are we good to go? Subtle but significant addition. We've added folk using the herein modality to get really familiar with what it's like. It's like you are, your observing mind, that's great, Nikki, is like your own board of directors eavesdropping on the 24/7 dialogue of the entrepreneur. And the board of directors is there lovingly, not like, oh my God, what entrepreneur is running this business? No. LOL. It's the board of directors, a benevolent board of directors, listening 24/7 to start to shift how you're internally coaching yourself as an entrepreneur, let alone in life. That is the invitation, to apply this practice very mindfully to your business dialogue, let alone your life dialogue. Alrighty, final section of tonight. As promised, I could have just run a course on mindfulness training. I could have just run a course, that's the first third of the evening. I could have just done it on mindfulness training and applying mindfulness practices to business. That's the second third of the evening. And as I designed this, I thought, can you do it, Heather? If you can, do the yo woman's lift and add in outer game business strategies and semi-private business coaching to each of these themes so that we just come at the mountain from all angles. So without further ado, I'm going to look at the five main components that we're wanting to create here in direction, focus, action, etc. And I'm going to just, I'm going to do a few things, so stay with me. I'm going to headline a piece of the solution. I'm going to give one. I'm going to give a visual image of a piece of the solution. Two, I'm not going to teach it all. They're a whole course in themselves. And then three, I'm going to invite you to pick one area to focus in on for this week to get some mileage on in your business, and also open it up for any business coaching that you wish on your custom area that you choose. Okay? I'm going to headline them, visualize them, and then invite you to customize your selection and coaching around it. Okay, so as Nikki, and in fact Nancy, know, as graduates of Rewired for Success, I've built an entire 60-day program on a success cycle. And module two of that program is all about setting your direction, your dream, your chief aim. I'll show you the picture in a moment, but I've just headlined it as knowing what your sweet spot goal is. You'll see a visual in a moment. Another component of the Rewired for Success program is practicing 68 seconds of pure focus, which I actually just did on the Wevo Global call that we do. I've just added it on today, where we end with 68 seconds of pure focus together on the Wevo Global call, which is at 1 p.m. Eastern time every Tuesday. I can give you the link, Nikki, if you wish. That's a piece of the Rewired for Success program. Then we're looking at this challenge of action, and one of the major antidotes that we bring in the Rewired for, got it, Nikki, Rewired for Success program is knowing what your top five priorities are the day before and hitting the ground running. Likewise, in these Business Killers to Business Creators, we're looking at this anecdote to absolute overwhelm is a feeling deeply okay. And one of the main ways to do that, other than the mindfulness practice, of course, is reframing. We've built a whole 30-day program around reframing. So the first three are just a couple of the components in the Rewired for Success 8-week success cycle. And then this fourth one is highlights of a 30-day Rewired for Happiness 30-day cycle, just to get you a sense that this is not just words on a screen, it's grounded in entire systems. That's why I'm writing that out. And then this fifth one, in terms of an outer game, another outer game antidote, is around systematizing things. So getting clear direction in your business, clear focus on a daily level, clear actions on a daily level, deeper okayness, and systems that systematize you and or delegate your business. And that's part of one of the 10 modules of the 12-month I'm just typing in here in the chat box, Rewired for Business system program that we built. Do I still have access to the Rewired program that I was a part of? Pretty sure. I'm just hesitating on the technical side, but yes, Nikki, is the short answer. So here are the highlights of five areas that we're really looking at in these Business Killers to Business Creators. Direction of clarity, ability to focus longer than usual, ability to take more meaningful, impactful action in a day, feeling more and more deeply okay, and systematizing the parts of your business that are worth systematizing, lead gen, sales conversion, and service delivery. Systematizing them in you and or delegating them to others. So that in a nutshell are five very concrete business strategies for your business in these themes that we're opening up this week. Now I'm going to, as promised, do this in a second way, which is show a visual for each one of these. And then I'll pause and tag team back over to each of you. And I'm going to invite you to pick one area this week that you want to up your game in your business, and feel free to then ask me any, first ideally to state what you're going to do, and then feel free to ask me any questions or get any coaching on it. So without further ado, again, some of this will be recap for Nikki. I can't teach this all here because it's a whole nother program, but I will just briefly say that the top 5% do not get lost in the details, which is the downside of this, or they don't get lost in la-la land over in dreaming. They are tuned into their dreams of the 10-year-plus time frame. Then they internested, take 3 to 5 year chunks of those dreams and state them in chief aims. And then they take 3 to 6 to 12 month chunks of those chief aims and put it into a sweet spot goal, where there's ideally a 10 level of excitement and a 10 level of belief. And then from there, you get your next logical steps or your top five priorities as you go forward this hour or this day or this week. So that's very briefly, I'm just giving you now a touch of what you may want to choose to focus in on to improve this week. Second, you may want to apply 68 seconds of pure focus every day to your sweet spot goal. And when I often do this is right after I do, say, 10 or 15 or 20 minutes of mindfulness practice, then I'm already sitting and I already have my timer. I finish it by doing 68 seconds of pure focus on my sweet spot goal, which launches me, bridges me from my morning practice to my business day. That's an option. Likewise, and Nikki knows this, but the story of where the top five priorities came from. I may not have a chance, although I can backtrack if this is important to either of you, to recount the story of where almost a century ago, President Charles Schwab was addressed by this efficiency expert, Ivy Lee. And here's the story right here. And he basically said, I can show you in 15 minutes how to increase your sales and your efficiency in your company by at least 50% through across you and your executive team. And he basically said to him to write down your five most important priorities and do them each day. How much is that going to cost me? Nothing. At the end of 90 days, he wrote him a check almost 100 years ago for 25 grand, a good $250,000 today. We have improved that in Rewired by saying, write them down, not in the morning, but at the end of your business day, while you're focused on your business, so it's super easy, it's clear, and then you blow the whistle and give your mind the night off, the evening off, and the night off, so you sleep better, and you know you've already won because you're already clear, and you hit the ground running. Again, I'm just giving you highlights. Relax. I'm not teaching the whole thing. I'm just giving you like a wave, like a summer breeze over you to get a sense of what you might like to focus in on. The fourth one possibly is practicing reframing. And Nikki gave an example of this earlier where she went, can't squash like a bug and cancel, cancel, cancel. We have built hundreds of reframing techniques and we've put them into reframing workouts, like where there's a warm up, a body and a finale of the reframe to shift the negative to the positive, to cancel out the monkey mind, etc. And that could be something you want to focus in on this week. And last but not least, your fifth option that is focused around business direction, focus, and action is systematizing any aspect of your business for you and or delegating to someone. So without further ado, last sort of section of this evening, notice I picked the more professional business shots for this section. I would love you to, at minimum, start in the chat box, perhaps, by selecting your top challenge area, direction, focus, action, overwhelm, or the opposite, being deeply okay. Or systematizing something in your business. So pick one of the top challenges and or your top solution. And even better, committing to an actual one action that you're going to do this week in relation to upping your business game around direction and focus and action, just one thing. So you may go straight to action. It's very clear to you. You may only know the challenge and you want my coaching support. You may at least know the theme of the solution. So do your best for a moment in the chat box, and then we'll unmute and I'll give you any support that you ask for around one movement towards clear direction, focus, or action in your business this week. So Cheryl, I had start theory systems. Theorio systems in place, so I think I should start there.
Yeah, my computer is weird. I was saying that I have no systems in place whatsoever. I don't even know really what they are or where to start with those.
Okay, and you have a motivation to start by creating one system this week, is that right?
Yes.
So there's a hesitation because what I'm listening for your words. I'm also listening for a subtle tonality. And I could be wrong, but I read a slight agitation, like, I have no systems, therefore I should have them.
I'm not even sure I know what they are.
Right. So for one, I mean, we spend a whole month on this in the year of Rewired for Business. So, and we could spend more time in your bonus one-on-one on this. Having said that, do you have a guesstimation on one area of your business that would feel like an easy win this week to systematize? I mean, it could be just systematizing how you store your canvases. It could be systematizing your day of when you paint versus when you go out and network or market. It could be a system for lead gen. So do you have a sense of one, doesn't have to be the biggest one this week. If you were just to bring more rhythm, more unconscious competence, more systematizing of one aspect of your business this week, do you have just an intuitive gut feel of what that might be?
Well, I'm re-systemizing my whole house.
Okay.
So that I have one area that's specific for painting, one area specific for marketing, one area specific for writing.
Nice. I like that. I feel
that
a little... Okay, great. So I really love the strength of the physical environment. You know, when you're moving here, you can just paint. You don't have to think about marketing or writing. And when you move here, you can just focus on writing. I love the physicality of it. So let's, that's like a sweet spot goal, is I'm systematizing my house to make it work for my business. Meaning it could be a 3 to 6 month thing, or it could be a 3 week thing. Now I'm going to chunk it down one more just for this week. What feels like a manageable bite size for this week to make progress on systematizing how your home works for your business?
Getting all the furniture moved. Excuse me.
Getting all.
I'm in the process of moving all the furniture.
And the result of which, will that establish one of those three areas, or will you feel like you can establish all three of those areas this week?
It will get a good start.
So that's a nice phrase, but I'm consciously nudging you to get a clearer picture, and I'm doing this very specifically, in your mind of your end mini goal. And that's why you described three areas to me. So you do have an end picture in your mind. And I want to set you up for success, not failure, celebration, not slamming yourself, to say, do you imagine in the moving of your furniture to be able to set up one, two, or three of these areas that you picture in your mind this week?
It would be all three.
Excellent. Excellent. That is very clear. And believe me, physical environments has a huge impact on business success, especially for entrepreneurs that work out of their home. Very big, you know, blur of the lines. And I love that you've identified three main activities in your business, and now you're creating three main physical spaces. Very clear. Fantastic. Run to daylights. Love you to send a few pictures admin@rewiredforsuccess.com so she can add them into the slide deck for next week. I love that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'd love for your sake and our celebration of you, love, as I say, to send three pictures or whatever feels relevant of those three areas when they're done to admin@rewiredforsuccess.com and say, Janice, you know, Heather, you know, please add these to the slide deck, you know? Very
okay.
Good. Very good. Love it. Very clear. Okay. Any final need on that before I tag team over to Nikki?
I think that's good. Thank you.
Excellent. Very good. So you've got your mindfulness practice on the inner game and the systematizing of your business space on the outer game. Love it. All right. Nikki, what do we got here? It's currently big enough to excite me. How can I support you, Cheryl? Great question. And that's a great accountability question. Love your proactivity, Nikki. I'm clear I need to work on my sweet spot goal. It's currently big enough to excite me, but I have disbelief that I can do it. Okay. Also, what if the top five things will each take more than a day to complete? I feel like listing my priorities will help me to focus. Am I just biting off more than I? Okay, great. So two great questions. So you know the architecture of sweet spot goals. You know, ideally, you need to have a 10 on excitement and 10 on belief and really good awareness that your excitement's up there and your belief needs to adjust. I'd love you to write in the chat box and or tell me what is your current sweet spot goal. And we'll handle that for a moment, and then I'll get to the other top five priorities.
Current sweet spot goal is to finally get my business, my healing business with horses up and running so that I have paying clients.
So that's excellent. And I want to just ask a few kind of grounding reality questions.
Yep.
So given that I know some of the context, which is the business, there's a probability that the business will be happening in a different location other
yes.
than you are now, one, and two, that you are currently in this location to build an income base to accomplish that goal. I might recommend, or at least explore, getting really clear on what cash amount and time frame amount you'd like to build to that you need to build or want to build to get you to the next level of building your horse business. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because when we're kind of like, yeah, I wanted to build my horse business, but I'm painting. I'm agitated. There can be an inner conflict.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah. As opposed to I'm going to nail 10 grand or whatever it is, or I'm going to nail 25 grand net versus gross. You want to be clear on what it is, net or gross.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is. To launch the next phase of my horse business. Now I'm excited to paint. I can't paint fast enough. You see the difference?
Yes.
Excellent.
I do. And great. That just shifted.
I felt it. And now we're upping your excitement and your belief. Yes?
Yes.
Excellent. So I want you to work on, and you can give me a stab at it now if you have a gut feel. And or to be really clear, in 7 days for sure, what is your sweet spot goal, i.e. the and it may include not just a number and a time frame, but reverse engineering from what is the next phase of my horse business and what financial backing does it need? And therefore, what number am I going for? Do I need, you know, a financial backing of flight and a new place to live and of, you know, 3 months rent and blah, blah, blah to build up the business? Do I need marketing materials? Whatever. So lay out the basically it's like a venture capital for yourself. You're building a venture capital base of cash to launch your business. And therefore, to get concrete on what that number is and what everything that's included, to get real and realistic, and then reverse engineer on your slam dunk strategy of staging houses to accomplish that. Make sense?
Yes.
Awesome. And now to your second piece, and I just love your clarity. You've just come so far energetically of there's just not so much resistance, monkey mind, yada yada shit to, excuse my language, to try and defend or conquer or come at me. And it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with what's going on internally. It's a lot clearer in there. And you're just going, yep, yes, yes. So really good. And you're aware of the curriculum that you learned before, and you're integrating it again at another level. So all great. So on to the second piece, priorities doesn't have to be five. It's you can write five so they're clear in your mind. If you know for sure you're only going to accomplish three, write three. If you know only for sure you're going to accomplish one, like it could be finish the staging gig, or it could be reach out to 20 contacts on LinkedIn and nail my next staging gig. So it could be one particular very focused action is better than five vague ones. So this is not about a laundry list. This is about stuff that works and produces results.
Does okay.
that give you more clarity on that one?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Not that I don't want to hear the sound of your voice, but, and I am celebrating your simple, energetic yes, yes, yes. I feel the difference, and it's really powerful.
Yeah, awesome. That just made it easier, Heather.
Oh, Hallelujah, amen. If the whole eight weeks were worth these two moments of systematizing your business environment, Cheryl, and your sweet spot goal is going to nail this for you, Nikki. It's been entire. I tell you, every week my commitment is that you gain your ROI every week. So awesome. You're going to sell another painting because your house is cleaner, you know, or clearer, Cheryl,
yep,
et cetera. Mm-hmm. You know, this is how it works. So, and a painting's worth a lot more than $1.49. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm just being super direct and excited for both of you. Okay. So final, okay. We've already got your commitment to your outer game action. And so I think this is the final slide. We'll close and then I'll stay on for a few more minutes as always, if you need an extra piece. So solo, it's the here in and feel out, and specifically the here in on content in relation to direction, focus, and action. Finishing those 10 mindfulness training videos so that it's not like tick that I got them done, but that the sooner they're under your belt, the more clear the mindfulness practice is and all your meditations going forward just get that much more mileage. And your business action of the week. Likewise, your accountability partner, for sure, the whatever texting has been working or calling or emailing, whatever, in terms of your practice, and an additional invitation, well, now that you're here, you know it, but to name your business action, which we just have, and share your business results throughout the week. I just set up one out of three of my sections. I'm going to text Nikki. Woohoo! I nailed my budget for my business launch and have set my sweet spot goal in my time. Woohoo! Whatever it is, with your accountability partner this week on the business side. And then, of course, and always, reporting back your practice and your results back to the mastermind. So that, and if you wish to send any pictures that are relevant, feel free to do that. And we will do our best, the sooner you send them in, that we'll do our best to incorporate them in the slide deck next week. So without further ado, that is us just launching us all into week three. So let's give ourselves a 3, 2, 1, we're champions as an official close, and then a few extra minutes if needed. 3, 2, 1. We
are champions.
Absolutely excellent.
High five.
High five. Yeah, I like it. All right. Amen to that. And yes, we can either adjourn because you're clear and satisfied, and or any final clarifying questions, insights, gratitude, ahas.
I'm excited about creating my week.
Nice. Awesome. Thrilled for both of you. Have a great one. Just kicking it off here in the realm of direction, focus, and action. Enjoy it. Enjoy the new you. It's way
easier to
win. You're welcome. Cheers. Have a great one.
Thanks, Heather. Okay.
Pleasure as always.
Nikki.